In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have heard me say that all theology is theodicy. Theodicy is Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz's term for our attempts to justify God, to try to explain and get on top of this matter of there being a good and almighty God, we claim, and evil that we experience. Well, I'll probably go on saying that all theology is theodicy. It's not really true. But questions of why is there evil in the first place? Or why are some saved and not others? Haunt our deeper thinking about God, as Mr. Bierman so aptly showed on Friday. Questions of why me and this illness? Why me and this unemployment? Why me and this accident cause us to wrestle with questions of God's responsibility and our own. And I frankly think that one of the most serious theodicy questions that believers face is that question of, hey, I'm baptized. Hey, I've got the promise. Hey, I've received the Lord's body and blood. Why did the Holy Spirit not reinforce me today? Why has the Holy Spirit let me down again? So we just heard and read the words from Luther. Probably a lot of us thanked God that we're in a period of our lives where there aren't all that many temptations. Sometimes the Holy Spirit really does produce periods in our lives where discipleship seems to be going pretty well. There is a sense of order that the Spirit seems to be preserving in our lives. The Hebrew word for order, you remember, is shalom. But we need to be remembered also this day that complacency is always a threat. We just heard Paul's admonition to take heed lest we fall. Our failure to perceive that temptations are lurking around every corner simply sets us up for Satan to hit us again, to blindside us again, to take advantage of us again. We better take heed lest we fall, especially on the days when we don't feel tempted. For temptation is real. Temptation is earnest. It is sometimes subtle. It is sometimes crass and direct and in our face. But the tempter is always aiming to undermine and to destroy our enjoyment of our humanity itself, for he is a murderer. And he comes with every kind of lie, every kind of tricky deception, because he is a liar. He can't do other. Our Lord said that's just his nature. Misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice happen. They creep and they crawl into the crevices of our thinking. They fester and they simmer. They warp our lives. They corrupt our lives. They poison our lives. We could turn to the Large Catechism just for a handy list reminder. As we've just read, Luther says temptations come from the flesh, such as unchastity, laziness, gluttony, drunkenness, greed, deceit, fraud, deception against the neighbor. There's some good reminder on that list for each of us. And then the world tempts us, he says, anger, impatience, hatred, envy, enmity, violence, injustice, perfidy, vengeance, cursing, reviling, slander, arrogance, pride, fondness for luxury, honor, fame and power. Few of those are familiar, to me at least, too. And then we are tempted by the devil. Luther says we are tempted to be scornful of God and his work and his will and his word. And that will lead us either into presumption on the one hand or into despair on the other. I don't know that I really have scorn for his word, frankly. A little benign neglect sometimes, a little bit of improvement on where he could have said it better, but I don't think I'm scornful. temptation is part of that mysterious struggle of the baptized with an evil that we have been promised we would be rid of, but it's still there, and there's no explanation. I can only echo what Mr. Bierman said on Friday. I don't know. There's only a promise. It's a promise in the text. You won't be given temptation stronger than what you can resist. There's no comfort there, because we know that we've often been given temptations stronger than we can resist. But the promise remains. God is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul tells us that if we deny him, he will deny us, and then turns right around, that law gospel thing, you know, and says, if we are faithless, he will be faithful, because he simply can't deny himself. And faithful is who he is. God will provide escape. God will provide endurance. For God does not stand above our battle against temptation. God has experienced it. Jesus Christ faced the temptation to abandon his way to the cross in Gethsemane. And in the wilderness, he dueled with Satan, and Satan used the very word of God itself against him. He has come to share our temptations. He has gone head to head and face to face with Satan. He has thrown scripture back at the devil. He has shown us that the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, will win out. He does not come with vague promises. He comes with the very concrete promise that his word will triumph. He promises to hear our prayers in the midst of temptation. He promises that the Spirit will groan for us within us when we cannot even find the words for prayer. Luther didn't want to deny that God's word and prayer are good weapons against temptation, but he also suggested good company. Be with Christians who won't let the devil get close. He suggested good food and good drink in godly amounts. Satan has his own prescriptions, and they don't help at all. And then Luther suggested songs. Sing the devil back to where he came from. Then you can't pray him back or Bible verse him back there. But the sword of the Spirit is the best weapon we have. The word of the cross. When Satan comes near, smack him over the head with the cross. In Lent, it's particularly easy to do that, for we have the picture of our Lord dying for us. And we can think on him, not on all the Mel Gibson-type blood and gore, but on the fact that our God is here saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He won the victory. Satan lost. Temptation is an invitation to perpetuate failure. There is no glitz in the future of temptation. The future lies with the crucified corpse, who is faithful even when we are not. So succumbing to temptation is just plain stupid, to say nothing of the fact that it takes away our joy and leads us away from our Lord, where true peace, shalom, resides. So temptation is going to happen today and tomorrow. The struggle goes on. I can't tell you why. I don't know why my baptism didn't do it all for me, but the struggle goes on, and beside us, before us, behind us, around us, stands the one who has been tempted and who has promised in our baptisms and in the times we have received his body and blood, in Christian conversation, in absolution, and from this very pulpit, the one who has promised that there is nothing that will separate us from him, not even temptation. For he's just been dying to love us, and he remains a God of his baptismal promising word. What a rock. That's who he is in this fourth Sunday of Lent in our Lord's year 2004. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds.